Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in today. I am your host, Lucas Blythe, and I would like to welcome you to Mammalia, the podcast where we talk about members of the best class to ever graduate from Cordata. I think I said that right. I always say it wrong. Unfortunately, my co-host is out today, and we have no special guests appearing. So, I am running the entire show today. I'm very excited, because this means I get to talk about one of my favorite mammals that I've been researching over the past few months. But before we get started, as I always do, I have to go through all the sponsors. And I mean, there's only really two of them this week. I want to quickly say thank you to our sponsors, Juggernaut and Cupcake, for keeping us going over the past few hectic months. Now, okay, now that that part's over, let's get right into it. They're only about a foot tall. They belong to the Carnivora order. They live out in the dry lands of Africa and have hilariously large ears that are actually really practical for them. Any idea what this cute little guy could be? Well, if you guessed, and I'm probably gonna mess this up, but Odocyon megalodus, aka the bat-eared fox, you would be correct. These guys are all over South and East Africa, specifically in the countries of Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia, Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Angola, and South Africa. The foxes are seen as a habitat generalist and usually thrive in most habitats, but they do prefer grassy areas and tend to avoid dense bush areas. They are well known for their hilarious large ears that are used to locate insects using acoustics. Specifically termites, and also for heat dissipation because obviously it's really hot over there. Now, recently, we've been talking, a lot of the mammals that we've been talking about in this podcast have been considered threatened or endangered. And actually, these foxes are in pretty damn good condition, listed as stabled and of least concern. But as is the theme of the show, and you know, I always give a background about the animal, and then we dive into the ecological problems that they are facing. We're going to talk about a few of the ecological threats they are facing with our, unfortunately, ever-changing planet. There are two to three-ish main threats that the foxes are potentially up against. You got drought and overgrazing, rabies, and then human encroachment. And we'll start with the overgrazing part. It's actually overgrazing has been a major problem in Namibia. Gosh, I keep mispronouncing that. Due to drought, a lot of areas are taking a lot longer to regrow or don't regrow at all. And so, in really unintentionally, farmers have had livestock overgrazing in many different areas. And it's interesting because the foxes have actually been noted, there's some research going on about it, to be a potential help for farmers. Because when an area is grazed, and it's been shown in some studies where in areas that have been grazed by, say, wildebeest or zebras or something of that nature, there have been a lot of foxes around because it is really easy for them to find and locate termites that are around the area. So if farmers are effectively grazing their fields or territories or their land or whatever, the foxes go in and eat the termites for them. That's a pretty good deal. But if the area is not grazed effectively and the grass is cut too short, the termites leave or die. And this removes a potential food source and food area for these foxes, and they lose land because of it. And this hasn't become a major issue so far, but as the trend has been going, it could potentially lead to some territory slash land problems in the future. Now, I'm going to go into the second major issue, which is rabies. Rabies, they do have a vaccine. And I'm not going to go into what rabies does to animals. I mean, it just makes them go crazy. And, you know, they've been known to bite people and all that stuff. You've probably heard of it before. But because rabies as a vaccine is not something to be overly concerned about, but it can easily create a problem for foxes, and here is why. Batted foxes are very special canids due to their social structure. Many canids obviously are in packs and stuff like that, and so are the foxes. They live in social groups from 2 to 10 to, it's even been noted, the largest one that's been noted has been 12, at least that I've found. And family groups usually, I mean, obviously, because there have been larger groups, they usually only consist of one male, but it can be more, and but multiple females. And all the females in the family may bear and raise young at once. And what's interesting is that cooperation among the females to raise all of the young successfully is pretty common. It's even been noted for allosuckling, which is the female, which is when like a female, is producing milk for her young, allows the young of another female to feed off of her, which is pretty cool. And when it comes to like territories, there have been, territories that have been noted in some areas, and then territories that have been noted that are in other areas, territories have not been noted. And there often is cooperation between family groups. For example, there have been family groups that have been noted that when one is being attacked by a jackal, which is a big predator for the foxes, random foxes will come in and attack the jackal with them. And they also, during the dry season when there are more termites out, they all work together to find more food, which is really cool. Many times family groups will combine during the season to go find food. So that's just, touching the outside of this whole social realm of the foxes, but how does this relate to rabies? Well, because of the high rates of amicable, group behavior, it is very easy to spread disease between family groups because you're sharing a lot of saliva and stuff like that. They're the only canid species besides domestic dogs that have been able to maintain the virus cycle in their species. They have not been able to get it eradicated, which is not good. This has not caused, again, any major problems yet, but there is potential for a major outbreak. But there is good news, and that scientists are prepared for an outbreak. It's been studied that if an outbreak were to happen, it would most likely A, remain in the species because certain studies have shown that the rabies virus in battered foxes is distinct from the virus in domestic dogs and black-backed jackals, which again is a major predator of the fox. So the virus transmission would remain relatively intraspecific, so in the species, but there has been interspecific, so outside of that species, excuse me, transition or transmission in the past. But again, it is very, very rare. And again, there are scientists, as I've said, scientists are prepared for a breakout and have recommended that if a major outbreak were to occur, the best thing to do would be to give the vaccine orally to the foxes. And but right now the step is not necessary at the moment. And finally, human encroachment. This has major potential to become a problem. In Africa, there's a lot of areas that are wildlife regulations are either very strictly enforced or very lax. So scientists decide to compare two regions in Kenya, the Mara Triangle and the Talek region. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but in the Mara Triangle, wildlife regulations are strictly enforced, and in the Talek region, they are very lax. And so scientists compared fox groups and fox numbers in the areas and found major differences. In the Talek region, there are three groups of foxes with only four individuals. That's it in the whole region. While in the Mara Triangle, there were 43 groups with 126 individuals. This is just a telling sign right there that human disturbance can have a major impact on the bat-eared foxes. And this is something that ecologists should be concerned about. especially as human encroachment becomes more and more of a problem. But there seems to be a solution, and that would be more active participation of law enforcement. Because again, in the Taluk region, where there were only four groups or three groups with four individuals, very loose on the regulations, and this has caused a lot of human disturbance compared to the Mara Triangle. So with strong regulations that are actively enforced, the fox population should not be affected as much as it could be. If you'd like to learn more about these guys, I would recommend going to the African Wildlife Foundation. You can donate to organizations here that help the foxes, because they're facing some other issues too that I'm not that isn't a major problem. There's a certain group that believe that use the foxes as like a trophy slash they use their fur for stuff, and although this hasn't impacted the population really at all, it's something to look into if you're interested. But also these organizations help other species that are more threatened than these foxes are right now. You can learn a couple more things that I didn't touch on up on today. I highly recommend checking it out. Usually these episodes last, like 10-ish minutes, so I think that's going to be it for today. There's a lot more information about these foxes. I highly recommend researching more. But I'm really excited I got to talk about these guys, and I would definitely keep an eye out for any news on them, because, with the world changing like it is, I would not be surprised if their population began to face some major pressures. But for now, they are thriving, and I think that's a big plus, because they're such a unique species in our class of mammalia. Anyways, thanks again for tuning in. I hope you learned something today. Next week, we will be talking about a special animal, a subspecies of wolf that photographer Paul Nicklin has covered many times, sea wolves. Super stoked to talk about these guys. They eat a lot of fish. It's cool, unlike any other wolves. But I hope you all have a great week, and I will see you all next week for another recording of Mammalia. Have a good one, guys.